Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? It's that time again on a Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour at the Blog Talk Radio Network. You have reached the K. Thompson Live Show. I'm the person that's known as the Sun, Citizen Payne, and you are what? Here you go.
K. Thompson, everyone. Welcome to K. Thompson Live. Boy, do we have a show for you tonight. Lots of things in the news. Trump. I can't get that man out of my mind. Somebody, please, you know, tell us what to do, okay?
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on the Wednesday evening. All right. So let's welcome one of our other co-hosts, Brother Byron Saunders. Let me see if I get your mic on. There you go. Byron, what's going on, brother? How you doing tonight?
Well, it's another blessed day in paradise. It's cold, and we're expecting snow. The S word is coming to the tri-state area tomorrow, and it's like, are you ready? Are you ready for that? And Trump, too? I don't know.
Yeah, brother, I don't know if everybody's ready for that. I mean, you know, one of the things talking about is maybe we talked about it last week. The issue has really been heating up is that his issue would the press, well, this is what I put on our little just title for our show tonight, or little description log line. I put Trump has an issue with the press, black women, Democrats, and vets when it's raining. And, you know, it's people that he seems to continue to have an issue with for whatever reason. He seems to have an issue with for whatever reason. I was going to put just the rest of the world. But what do you think, Ma?
He has a reason. A reason what? You know, I'm just wondering what in the world is the matter with him, you know? It's really difficult to deal with somebody like that. Right, Byron? Right, Byron?
Despicable. You know, his treatment of African-American women, the press. I posted and posed this a couple of weeks ago. I think it's time for a constitutional amendment that anyone running for federal office in state or government office, there should be a constitutional amendment that indicates that it's illegal to support or be a part of a white supremacy group, engage in bigotry and racism. That's the core problem of our country.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, first you have to get past the bigger core problem of it, supposedly to have been a white supremacist country. You know, I mean, that's therein lies the problem. I mean, you know, large part of the foundation of that. Hold on. Let's hold on for a second. You need to put that to your ear. Okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, if you think that this is United States is just a place where people just came here to start a nation of their own, and everybody else is here at their disposal, that's kind of the beginning of the problem. Everything else is a snowball effect. You know, but it's just this week, this guy wants to be, I mean, it's really, really obvious how this guy wants to be emperor and king, you know, in terms of, you know, his treatment of Jim Acosta last week and, you know, the constant berating of the black female reporters. I didn't even see initially in that press conference how he treated April Ryan, telling her to sit down. And also, obviously, the other sister out on the little driveway there. But this guy is, you know, people keep trying to figure him out. The only thing you need to figure out is that, you know, criminals do whatever they want to do, and they lie and cheat and just make up their own world. And this is what this guy has been doing. And he serves the purpose of the Republican Party. You know, I'm sure you probably noticed today, Byron, about Jeff Flake trying to hold up some, trying to get that legislation passed that Robert Mueller's, the Mueller investigation would be secure, safe and secure. And the only person blocking it, the one vote that blocked it was Mitch McConnell's vote. So it kind of tells you pretty much where they're coming from. And they don't mind, you know, I've said this before, and I've heard some other people start to say it now. And I think it was a man out of Ohio, Sherrod Brown, I think it was, who was running it down in his speech to the National Action Network that, you know, basically saying they cheat, you know.
Of course they cheat.
I mean, he didn't come out and say that, but he said, you know, they put obstacles in the way. They try to suppress the vote. They try to restrict the times, you know. That's the only way that they can win, you know. And it's, you know, they kind of call it protecting the vote, but it's really about cheating.
Listen,
if you
want to know
the
something.
History,
go ahead, Byron.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say,
no, Byron, go ahead.
Of the nation, okay, if you look at the history of this nation over the last 247 years of its history, the error in its and flaw in its concept based in race protection, okay. And when you look at all of the attacks that are ongoing right now, all the voter suppression are based on race. The issue of the attack on the journalist is based on race. The immigration situation is based in race. And you go on and on and on. And even the 2016 election was a situation in which an anomaly was created, one in which it was plausibly deniable in that 1% of the states that were the so-called turn states went for Trump. Every one of those states, the reason why it was 1% or less was about the black vote. Everything has been based in race. And that's the part of which why I'm suggesting a constitutional amendment. Even when he attacked the exodus out of San Salvador, he brought up the 13th Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, the 13th Amendment was a guarantee for us to have the right to vote. Once again, based in race. So I'm suggesting if all of this is engaged in race, let's go back to the core of the real problem that we have in existing right now in our nation, and that is we need a constitutional amendment to make it a crime to be a part of or to support white supremacy, bigotry, and racism. And you can go across the line. And I mean, every state we are in right now has been fighting a civil war. This last election was an affirmation and a referendum on the Civil War Part Two.
That's a good,
you know what, sir? You know what, sir? I understand what you're saying, but what can be done right away? What can you do? What can we do? What can our communities throughout the country do? Okay? Whatever happened to Black Radio, the power of Black Radio, and New York was leading the way, if you guys remember correctly. Okay, so let's get that going. You know, what would Malcolm X be saying? What would James Baldwin be saying? Gil Noble, Dr. Jeffries, Dr. Ben. You know, can you tell me that? Somebody's got to lead this because we have a nut in the White House. And that's a dangerous nut at that.
Let's take a quick second right here. And let's hold on for a quick second. Let's just bring Wayne Gilman, our other co-host, into the conversation. Wayne, how are you doing this evening?
Good evening, all, and forgive my tardiness, but I just met the most beautiful Latina, drew my blood this evening, and that's why I am here. Let me tell you, I'm sorry. I don't mean to go off conversation and topic, because I'm down with Byron with the racism and all that crap. But let me tell you something. There is still love in the world for people my age.
Okay.
I am so astounded that somebody half my age.
Oh, good night.
Oh boy, you know I can't wait for the show to end. So I told her I had to do this because I didn't want to. It was too late to call you. It was too late to call, but. Oh, my God, I'll get sick all over again behind this. Anyhow, getting back to Orange Man and his hysterical nonsense, it's just ridiculous that we have to go through this nonsense on a regular basis. I'm so glad that he's having a hard time trying to come up with being a part of the news cycle. Since the midterm election, it seems like he's not as vibrant. You know, he's still arrogant, but it just doesn't seem like as if you're hearing as much about him as you did before. And certainly the tide is turning. And I have to agree 1,000% with Byron that everything has been predicated on race. All these Republicans, you know, even if they were in a red state, they still pulled the race card to a certain extent. And I'm so happy that Gillum in Florida decided to have the official count done, because I felt that it was just way too premature for him to go in and just throw in the towel. And all sorts of discrepancies are coming up now. And they don't really have a leg to stand on. I would be embarrassed to say if I were a member of the Republican Party. I saw that black senator, the only black senator from I forgot what state he's in, but he was responsible for some of the economic changes that Trump has set forth. I think his name is Scott, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he
South
was in
the
Trump conference. Yeah, yeah. They had
North Carolina.
I knew it was one of the was one of the southern states, and he was at a press conference today with Trump, advocating for those people of color who are coming out of jails and prisons and things like that, and it just seems so, you know, offbeat for him to even come up with something like that to say that he's giving back. And of course, Trump had the audacity to say that the employment market is getting better for these people. Once they get out, at least they'll find jobs. I'd like to know where, nothing has changed.
You know, there's no shortage of coons to find to stand behind this guy.
But I hear what you're saying,
There's no shortage of traitors to stand behind this man and supremacists to stand. There's no shortage of these people. Have you looked at Nigel Innes the other night defending Trump's remarks when on Cuomo Prime, whatever, Chris Cuomo's show, Angela Rye versus Nigel Innes. You know, it's all about talking heads now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Nigel just continues, and I guess there's money to if you stake out a position, obviously, in the opposite, always in the opposition, there's always money, right? And clearly that must be what these coons do. That's what they are to me, coons, house Negroes, house slaves to me. And you know, all this time we're talking about these people, just like talking about Trump. Everybody, to me, the beginning of the premise is wrong. The approach is wrong. Every time everybody's talking about this man as if he's a legitimately elected president, as if he didn't commit treason to get in the office, as if he's not a criminal who just hasn't been arrested yet. And that's, to me, that always kind of trips me out, that we start with the premise that whatever is going to come out of his mouth next might possibly be true, as opposed to the presumption of guilt that you would give to this one, because it's a presumption that he's going to lie. Everything that comes out of his mouth is going to be a lie. And it just – I don't know how much the press, or maybe it really is a true example of how – really, truly, the press is probably in cahoots with this type of narrative to a certain degree. You know, I mean, maybe there is not really a real division of ideology. Maybe it's just an appearance of division of ideology by some, because clearly that would be revealed, right? That this man is a liar every day, day in, day out, all day long. He makes up things, and they refuse to deal with him as such. And the only one who stood up like that was like Jim Acosta and his other people. But even
April.
It takes them a certain point to shout these people out. I mean, Sarah Sanders shouts out lies every day from that podium, and they just let her say that. They don't say, well, I mean, at least set the record straight. At least correct the record when they try to put out these lies and false narratives. At least say, well, actually, the facts show from whatever objective source you need to cite. But is it incumbent upon the press to say, actually, the record is, as opposed to just letting them say that and let that ignorance lie out there without any kind of check or balance that needs to go on? You know,
well,
and that's kind of the thing that constantly trips me out.
He can't keep up with his own lies. That's the problem. He'll say something, and then he'll refute that he said this 6 months ago. And even if you played the tape back, oh, that wasn't me, you know. And I heard somebody propose something the other day that really made a lot of sense to me. I would like to see the White House news conference one time filled with only black female reporters, just one time. For them to hold a news conference with either Trump or Huckabee in there, and just see, you know, what would be the discourse during the course of that get together, because it's so apparent that he skews his questions a certain way, and then he character assassinates each person, even the foreign press he treats badly. You know, it's shameful.
Listen.
But he's got
a thing
with
assassinated
black women,
the Republicans that didn't decided not to campaign with him. He
right.
stood up there, remember, and he mocked them for not campaigning with him. So, I mean, I don't see the necessity of that. I mean, we already know what's going to be the reaction. So, you know, but I mean, it would be an interesting conference to say the least.
I would, you know.
This is why Oprah needs to run for president.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. In a heartbeat. Listen, you know one thing, we need to hear more of from our black women, okay? And also, whatever happened, you know, to the power of black radio? And
right.
New York was sort of leading that, you know, that whole market. So what the heck happened?
Right. We asked
where
that.
Are we? What are we doing?
Right. We asked that question a few minutes ago. You're reiterating it.
I think we all know the answer to that. It's just unfortunate to a certain extent what's going on, but. You know, I have something I have to share with you off mic when I get a moment. Somebody just proposed something to me today about that, and I just think it's important that you know, to a certain extent, I don't like to blow our horn what we did, because I'd like to know that, you know, even though there is no continuance of what we've done in this arena in the New York area, that at least somewhere in the world it continues, that people, you know, of color are empowered and they still have signals and places in which to broadcast and talk about what we're doing on a regular basis. The very fact that, you know, Kate Thompson Live is on just once a week, can you imagine if it was on five nights a week?
The whole thing about the internet is people are listening to it every single night. We're broadcasting live just once a week. However, people are, the whole thing about on-demand nowadays, that's the world we live in, an on-demand world, people can listen to it every day. Because I was just looking at some stats, people listen to us on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yeah.
So it's not a thing where, you know, I mean, you can do new content, produce new content 5 days a week, or you can also produce content more times a week or whatever, but it is available to people every day, anytime they want, every minute, actually, every second, whenever they want.
Yeah.
They go to the site and they listen to it. So
and also, you know, all our shows are archived, so they can hear
we
can hear any of the shows.
Right.
And we do have some dynamite people. We've gone back to, you know, a lot of people that we used to have on, and of course their voices are still very strong. But I want to tell people that, you know, they can call in, probably starting in a few months. We're going to try to do that. In fact, we will be doing that, and we're going to be stronger. But we have an audience. We have a fantastic audience, a lot of people listening all around the country, okay? And I want to know about Mark Riley. I want to know about Peter Bailey. I want to know about, you know, all these. What about the black police persons?
Well, the
okay, and what about the incarceration rate?
Right, right.
You know, there's so
the
many
whole,
things we have to talk about.
Right.
And black women and Latino women and Asian women and Indian women, we're all leading.
Right,
right.
So the
and,
men have got to
have,
really be step
new,
up.
Right. The new course of elected officials is majority dominated by a number of women. You know, there's these pictures circulating, the new Republican members that have been elected and the picture of the new Democratic members that have been elected in this
sure.
midterm. And the pictures are, they're probably kind of the same pictures that we've been seeing for years,
mm-hmm.
that the Republican pictures The Republican picture of the members that have just been elected are all it's all white, and once again the Democratic class that's just been elected is obviously very diverse, and it's just another example of how narrow their party is and how their party really is, you know, looks like the party of white men, and if you want to support the issues of, that white men have to deal with. And then right on, and I guess Brother Scott out of South Carolina feels that he has to do his best to support white men too. So, God bless him and any other black Republicans.
But you know, also you guys.
Is their mission to support Massa?
Also, you guys, you have to give credit where credit is due. For instance, downtown Newark, in Newark, New Jersey, we have Ras Baraka,
right.
Mary Baraka's son, and he's doing a fantastic job
yes,
downtown in Newark. You know, and you guys should come to Newark if
yeah.
you haven't been down to Newark, New Jersey, okay? So I give Griffey Rash a lot of credit. I knew his sister and
right.
knew everybody.
That's right. We knew
we
his
go back.
Families go back. That's
yep.
right.
In and, fact, I was talking to Amina the other day, his mother, and I asked her to come on the air sometime with me, and she
okay.
said, well, what do you want me to talk about? I said, I wanted to say, are you kidding? You have a whole lot of stuff. But I'm good. Yes, and she will be on, and she told me that what did I want her to talk about? And I'm going to tell her anything
okay.
you want to, because she's a powerful woman
right.
also.
Right.
So what about Mark Riley? Where's Mark these days? Gary,
the, okay.
where's Gary?
The,
I haven't heard too much about Gary. Don't interrupt me here. You know?
Yeah, the whole thing about the whole thing about the radio now, which maybe you guys have noticed a little bit, is that the internet has enabled people to have their own platforms, so many different
sure.
platforms. And what hopefully Ken and I guess various platforms are doing, but I'm hoping to find a black platform, internet platform,
mm-hmm.
where you can go to and find all of these voices or a sampling of all the various opinions of black thought and talk that are people are doing out there, talking about podcasts, websites, and even people's own websites that they have where they're using that platform to share knowledge and information. Anybody that is on Facebook and an avid user of social media like that will notice, I'm sure you guys have noticed Atlanta Black Star and these various black history sharing sites will have little clips of African-American history that they share, that they put up. And just a number of organizations that are using social media in that respect. And even that in itself is helping to share information amongst black people, which is really good in terms of at least knowing the history and as well as organizing. So, I don't know how you guys, if you guys are familiar with that a little bit, Wayne. I'm sure Byron. I'm sure you're familiar with that that tactic that a lot of people are using.
Go
ahead, Wayne.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to quickly say I'm not a big Facebook person, but I am aware of the platforms and the different programs, and I guess. It would be great if we could have just one hub, you know, that all of us could chime in on, and that's about it, you know.
Or
I mean,
at least a location that people know they can go
right.
to, Black Thought or whatever. But and I thought that the root .com was, you know, a kind of a very reputable black kind of news site, but there it was bought by NBC. General Electric. So, you know. It brings up the question and raises the question in one's mind about, you know, we have our own stuff until a larger corporation comes out and buys it, and then, you know, is the political speech or the political thought kind of curbed when you go mainstream?
Well, you know what?
Exactly.
Let's start trying to get this together, you know, so that we actually have our own station, okay? And that's really what it's going to talk. As a matter of fact, I hope I feel you know Obama's going to run for president. I know she probably won't because Kletcher, he's had enough of that. But I'm sure she'll be, you know, politically active. But also, Oprah is one of the most powerful black women on the planet. So if she runs, she's in.
Right, right. And
I'm appealing to Oprah Winfrey and Oprah Winfrey fans.
Right.
Please tell her that Kay Thompson on Kay Thompson Live is, you know, please, Oprah, run for the presidency of the United States.
And getting back to what we were just talking about in terms of a hub for information, I would assume that the own networks and Oprah's own platform obviously is taking the leadership mantle in terms of a platform that's able to be independent, you know, of the larger corporations and the larger political perspectives. And it seems like hers is the platform that's able to do that.
Sure.
You know, she hasn't moved into producing news other than, you know, acquiring the news programs and the docuseries that have been already produced. But it would be interesting to see some sort of programming in regards to news gathering and reporting of news from an African-American perspective. I can imagine that she probably might shy away from that a little bit because she likes to be a little bit broader in her appeal, but certainly would be really helpful to our community, I think. I don't know what you guys think.
Speak up.
Well, I was just going to share with you that there are a couple of sites already favoring news that is specific to African-American information and history. For instance, the African-American Registry, which daily posts information on this day in African-American history. And I use that format to share. It's just go to African-American Registry. Every day they post it. And I use that information to post their daily listings of African-American history, whether it's icons in civil rights, science, history, entertainment. They post on this particular day a listing relative to our history. It's very, very good. And there is also a black radio Facebook group of African-Americans who are committed to the African-American experience by way of radio. If you uh-huh. just go to Facebook and type in search box black radio, that group will come up. There's several.
Okay.
So, I mean, that there is a space for it, and there's even a new group out of Houston, Texas, that is creating its own social network, social media network. I don't have that information in front of me at the moment, but it's one that's about to challenge Facebook, because Facebook, as much as it is good for information technology, its own admission, quite often does not have much to say about the African-American experience. But it will. You can Google and find out even more. But recently, Facebook has, you know, we've had issues where I've been posting every day African-American history from the African-American Registry, and I've actually been censored by Facebook for posting too much of that information.
That's interesting.
Think that's a race issue, or is it a content copyright issue?
It's a race issue. It's not a copyright content issue because the African American Registry has no copyright infringement issues with posting on Facebook. The Facebook dynamic of what do they call that? I can't think of the terminology. When you post too much of one thing and then the Facebook police literally put a block on your sharing information.
Well, I know there's been some discussion lately, and I could be wrong about what it is that I've just recently heard, but I know in Europe that they're trying to pass legislation in the European countries to basically regulate all these search engines that we have, like Facebook and Google and the others, because a lot of information gets out there that, you know, once it's out, and that's it. There's no regulation of it, even though there's been an effort on the part of Facebook to correct its ways vis-a-vis the last election. You know, I don't hear anyone in the States here looking to police and basically regulate the way the Europeans would like to see things regulated in the interest of everyone, you know?
Right.
It's just one of those things. And again, I'm not a Facebook person. You know, I do the internet, but it's just not something that, you know, I this business of, you know, friending and unfriending, and I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more than that, Wayne, but getting back to the issue, the particular issue you're talking about, Byron, I understand that, and I'm not surprised. That's new information to me. I'm not surprised to hear that they would take that tactic. But I also had heard recently that, you know, the guy who sent the pipe bombs and people like that, they were looking to find a way to curtail the hate speech that individuals of that nature shared on their pages. You know, I know that they, you know, that they were talking about, they had done that with a couple other of these domestic terrorists. But obviously that's like the double-edged sword. And, of course, obviously, even though when they claim they're being justice is being administered across the board equally, we know that when it comes to us, that's never really the case. So I wouldn't be surprised and not surprised to understand, or if I learned or had confirmation that what you're saying about that is true, that, you know, you're putting up too much black power stuff. So they said they curtailed your ability to do that, you know. And also just the fact that there should be a black version of, you know, Facebook, or people say there's black Twitter, but I guess that's just when black people on Twitter got a lot to say. But, you know, obviously, I mean, I think it should be one that deals with our interests. I personally have been surprised with how much of black stuff and cultural things I've been able to access through Facebook, you know.
Mm.
Obviously, it's through people sharing information. Same thing like YouTube or any other information sharing platform. But obviously, if they're curtailing the amount of information we can share with each other, that's an issue. Just being online is an issue, right? I mean, you know, whenever there's one place where people could, quote unquote, have a master switch where they could shut everything down, that's always a scary thought. I mean, as that relates to electronic voting and computerized voting, I always thought that that was a slippery slope, right?
Mm.
We don't have paper ballots. It's not a physical thing anymore. You know, you scribble your name down, you check the person's name next to the person you want to vote for, and you put it in a box, and people physically have to vote that, physically have to count that. Now it's electronic. So that means that information and those the workings, infrastructure of that machine can be manipulated electronically. And if it's also from the perspective of it being done through the internet, you know, then that's a really scary perspective. And I believe, and it's my concept, that is done intentionally, because you get the people who make the machines. If you control the guys who make the machines, then you control the machines, right? Right? It's just like counting votes. You got to have one of yours in the room and one of theirs in the room. If we count the votes equally, we make sure that both of us come with the same count. I mean, it breaks down to some very basic things in life, you know, how we count the math, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it is a scary proposition when you stop and think about it. I think what bothers me, as sophisticated as the state of as New York is perceived to be.
It
bothers me that we don't have early voting. We're still using these archaic machines that seem to break down conveniently for certain districts, and that we don't have the early voting process here. I think it would be
done by design. It's done by design. Well, I mean, anytime people are not doing stuff that makes the most sense in completing and executing a task, there's some reason for it, right?
They say money.
I mean, that's bullshit. I mean, you know, if you want to do something right, certain things are worth spending money on. It's just like Republicans who want to cut programs that affect people and old people and children. It's like, really? Certain things are worth spending the money on. You know, it's worth spending the money on education so we have a nation of people that are educated. But there's some people who, hey, ain't my kid or I don't have no kids, so the hell with them. So they don't recognize the connection to themselves, which is, you know, the basis of voting, right? The basis of what gets people out to vote. The direct connection of how does this affect my everyday life. So if it's not affecting my everyday life, the hell with it. But, you know, that's short-sighted. That's ignorant thinking.
But also, you know, there's another way to get to the people, and that is through the children in the schools. If everybody in the community, black community, Latin community, Asian community, et cetera, if they become interested in their children's education, go to the school system, be involved in, you know, your children's education, your students' education. And all that will be, you know, have such an impact. But, you know, I think we're in the tired zone here, you know, but it just that there was more activities in the 60s and the 70s than there is right now, you know, dealing with, the whole political thing, I think. And these young millennials, boy, they're going to be really showing us, and they are showing us, and they're going to be making a big change, I'm telling you. So I'm urging a lot of the women's organizations, and I'd like to get in touch with a whole lot of them, and they know where to get in touch with me. And
it's about the creature comforts, you know. You talk about millennials, Ma, now that it seem to be, and people seem to be removed from the urgency of the moment, to quote Dr. King. But, you know, it's once people get more comfortable.
Not with these young people.
Once people get more comfortable, then they then get lulled into a false sense of security, right? So now everybody's able to, you know, if you're not to the point where you're struggling every day and it's not like a life and death thing where you got to put food on the table, which, you know, a lot of these kids in the street resort to that, right? A lot of cats who are doing the drug dealing thing and dealing drugs, that's the quickest way for them to get what they have to get to support their family, right? Which is kind of the theme, you know, leading up. We're going to talk about The Hate U Give because that was part of a driving part of the storyline, which one of the characters got killed in the movie. But, you know, people doing what they have to do to survive on a day-to-day basis. And if you're not at that point, then you can take a step back and you got a little cushion in life, right? So now you're going, you got your car, your rent's paid, so you're a little bit more comfortable than the next person who is not comfortable. And until everybody feels uncomfortable or has some sort of empathy with the people who are uncomfortable, then, you know, we ain't going to get nowhere, you know? The more we have these cell phones, the more people are able to turn off and, you know, and just focus on themselves, which is what having a device in your hand that you could just totally focus on all day long and not even look at the rest of the world, that's where we are, unfortunately.
Yeah. And also, you know, when you're sitting home, you know, doing nothing or watching television, you know, you can also become involved with a whole lot of other people, you know, call them you know, find out the different organizations of people that are really doing things. And the black church is a powerful church. You know, it's a powerful group of people. Tons, okay? So let's involve them with it. You know, don't just sit back. We've all been on the air. We know how to manipulate with the media. So let's start it. Let's move it. Let's get everybody off their behinds, you know? Goodness. If I can do it, listen, I'm taking all kinds of exercise classes and Zumba classes and African Caribbean classes and stuff. Come on, men.
Well, I mean.
Come on, women.
I don't know how you guys think, but I think that what we have now, technology, the good part of it is it gives everybody an opportunity to be their own activist, their own organizer. And whether it be just talking to two or three friends, and they talk to two or three friends and get people motivated. Obviously, this is how he had such a large turnout in this midterm election.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with that flow of information, that easy access of information, once people now are understanding how the process works and how it directly affects them, I think they'll get more educated and get more involved in the voting process. That's why this guy, Trump, tries to control the narrative, right? There's so much coming at, bombarding at people, the weaker-minded of us or the less intelligent of us or the, unfortunately, less educated of us is vulnerable to misinformation and lies, right? That's, and also you combine that with someone just being hateful people, you know, they're going to be pretty doggone ignorant.
We can also support our congressional people.
Right.
Our African-American congressional people, Latin congressional people.
And the congressional caucus has gone up to about 50 people, or almost 50, a little maybe above 50 members of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Yes, I mean,
so
you need to find out who they are
serious,
and then support them.
That's right.
Where they are, all across the country, make a wave of support.
That's right. And the Congressional Black Caucus now has a pretty strong voting bloc because they have so many members.
Mm-hmm.
So they can really affect some things. I just want to make a turn real quick. I don't know about you guys, but we went and saw the movie The Hate U Give.
Mm-hmm.
I referenced it earlier, the movie about... A young girl who witnesses the shooting death of her friend by a police officer. Young girl's
right.
storyline is even though she lives in the hood, her parents have gotten there into a really upper echelon school for them to attend, so they get a better education. You know, kind of the age old story of amongst a lot of black parents where they want to, even though they might live in the hood, they work to get their kids in a school, into a school in another district, so they get that educational value. And it was a pretty good movie. You know, it was kind of dealing with the topical issues of young black men getting shot for no reason by police officers. And it was, you know, like I said, an example of what's going on now. But it was fairly well done and entertaining. So. I don't know if you guys have seen it or any other films or things that you guys might have seen that you want to share about, but that's certainly one that we would recommend, right, Mom?
Yep, it was absolutely excellent.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, I
recommend it completely.
I didn't actually get a chance to see the movie, but I saw some of the coming attractions on it a couple of months ago, and I was really impressed with the young lady's performance and the storyline behind it because it's so prevalent, regrettably, to this day, that we're still experiencing stuff like that, and
sure.
and it's just good to know from what I was able to perceive, you know, there was an open-mindedness on the part of, even though that young lady, although it be fiction, you know, witnessed a horrific crime in front of her, and the way it was portrayed, you know, it was certainly got my attention, but it's just unfortunate too much of this still exists out here. And what it's going to take to stop it, I just don't know. You know, we have so much to still do in terms of educating our community because I really think that's the problem with the whole process with America, period. If we could just understand each other's culture and have mutual respect for one another, I mean, honestly,
yeah,
educate those
only happens,
who don't know better.
Right, but that only happens when one culture is not dominant over the other cultures and does
yeah.
not try to maintain dominance over another culture. So to suggest that, you know, if you're in a minority and there's a dominant culture that has the majority, to suggest that everybody in that dominant, there might be some that are out of humane and humanity and giving respect to other things and people just because you give respect because you want respect, there might be a few in that dominant culture, that larger percentage that live by that credo. But then you're going to find a large number who don't, who say to hell with them, they should conform to us, we're better than them, we can control them, there's more of us, why don't we just exterminate them, stamp them out. And until... And I'm convinced until you have until you are on at least equal footing, then you're never going to get that equal respect because there is no recourse. That's why we keep dealing with the same problems over and over again as black people. There's no recourse. There's no consequences to these actions of violence and aggression against us. There's no real consequence to these people. So if there's no consequence, then what happens? They continue to do it, and they take us for granted.
And that's the reason why it's so important for us to come out and vote, so important for us to get it,
to
get a decent education. It's so important for us to show them that they're – I believe that we're in the days of Custer's last stand here, honest to God. 2020 is going to be such – is going to be such a tsunami, forgive the expression, when it comes to the political climate in this country. You know, this man wouldn't even know what hit him. You know, if he's lucky now, he should make tracks to get out of Dodge because, the midterm election said it all. And there's so many people, there are those in the flyover states that support him. And then as Eric mentioned earlier, reference coons. Yeah, we got one or two coons out there still that didn't get the message yet, you know. But I want to give those brothers a chance. I'm in such a beneficent mood tonight because I met Maribel. And I don't know what it is, but I can't find the anger in me anymore now. But I just had to throw a shout out to her. I guess she's listening. You know, I'm sorry, Kay. I didn't mean to take up your time.
That's okay.
With something so irrelevant to everybody else.
Hello,
but I'm loved. Yeah.
Right. Well, maybe you could take her to see the play, The American Sun, which just opened
with Kerry
Washington.
Yeah, you know
what?
I'm thinking. You know,
yeah.
I was just
Broadway.
Thinking about that.
I'm wondering if Byron, you seen that show? Is he still Byron with us? I guess not.
You got bored.
we're talking to, the play American Son with Kerry Washington just recently opened on Broadway.
Oh, yeah,
a friend of mine, Jerome Preston Brates, is also a part of the cast. So we should see, if you get a chance to go see it. Maybe go check it out. I heard that it has potential, this play. So hopefully it'll be something that people should check out and things like that.
Uh-huh.
I guess we lost Byron, or maybe Byron. Oh, I was away from the thing. Byron, hold on for a second. Let's bring him back in there because I know he's definitely got there. Byron Saunders.
Yes, I'm here.
All right,
I'm
brother.
Here. Yeah.
We lost you for a minute there.
Well, yeah, then I was queued back in, and you hadn't seen my email, but that's okay. I just wanted to share with you. That's all right. There is a group that I recommend, highly recommend. It's called the National Black Radio Programmers Coalition.
Where are they?
And you can get them on Facebook. That's a Facebook group.
National Black
Radio Programmers Coalition.
Black Radio Programmers Coalition. Okay.
Yeah, there's 1,249 members. I've been a member since 2013, and I highly recommend you engage that group to help sustain and support each other.
Will do.
Now, with respect to the movies and the play with Kerry Washington, I hear it's very good. Jerome Preston Bates is in it,
right?
And just recently opened to very good reviews. I think one of the things that I'm impressed by, like Michelle Obama's new book is out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The interviews that she's on, something that really struck me watching the interview is that America, the Barack and Michelle Obama first family, was far and above superior to that of the perverted one we have now. And to tell their story right now is very significant because it's impacting along with the fact of the black girl magic of all these African-American women and women of color who just changed the fabric of the Democratic Party.
When Obama's wife.
Yes, it is very significant.
When she first stepped in the scene, it was all over for the average
woman. And it creates a role model.
And also
a role model for our women.
And the other woman,
yeah.
She said
yes, any other woman.
Bar so high. Just a minute, Byron. You know, she said the bar is so high. And we have to find, you know,
right.
ways to, you know, support her in every single way. And all women. And I'm appealing to
right.
every single
right.
black, white, Hispanic woman.
Right. So,
you know, but also, right. you know, just come out and vote.
Right.
And
right.
be there.
Right. So you were.
You know, let's jump.
Let's get rid of Trump. Do you want to finish your point, Byron?
Well, yes, and one other piece of news that just happened today. Dr. Jonetta Cole was selected as the board chair and seventh president of the National Council of Negro Women.
Mm,
there
wow.
is a significant
move okay.
in our community of the positive affirmations of who we are, not just as a race, but as a people who are involved with the change factor that's happening in our country right now.
What about the present status of Stacey Adams, lady, and where is she?
I don't know. Stacey who? Who is
what
that?
Is she?
Abrams.
Yeah, lady.
Stacey Abrams. Okay.
Abrams,
the governor. Yeah, they're still counting those votes.
Still counting the votes?
Still counting, right.
Yes.
Still counting votes in Florida and Georgia, right.
Still counting the votes.
I lost my train of thought.
I had a question I wanted to ask Byron. As he mentioned Michelle Obama's book, I was wondering if you had a react or if you knew about the little difficulty. There's been some scuttlebutt between President Trump and Michelle Obama recently, and he made a reference about how people have to discuss things and when they put together books controversial in order to make the book sell. Well, Michelle Obama, in one of the interviews in recent days, said that she was surprised that his wife did not reach out to her to get advice, as seems to be the custom when one family leaves office, you know, that you figure there might have been some sort of consistency there. And I was a little taken back that Mrs. Trump turned around and said that she didn't need, coaching or advice from Michelle Obama.
Well, Wayne,
she's got to be kidding.
No, I don't want to sound naive with this, but I want to think that she was a little different than the Orange Man. I still think this is a marriage of convenience here, and that something's going to happen after 2020. You know,
when you have two people who are as self-absorbed as both of them are, there is no room for anyone else. They believe they live on a platform higher than the rest of our nation.
Who cares?
And
right.
And at the point of which you're right, Kay, who cares? Because
mm-hmm.
one of the things I really was impressed with is the fortitude and the absolute wholesomeness of the first family in Obama's administration.
Mm-hmm.
They were a family, and
mm-hmm.
the people who worked with them were respected as family.
They were the traditional type of image that America has always tried to project of the first family, right? The Obamas were, and that
exactly.
was the image that America always attempted to project about their presidents. You know, the FDR, the fireside chat, just the whole mythology of it, right? And so I was going to say earlier was that. It's almost as if, a certain segment of America would be the racist or racial segment of America got really fed up with black people feeling really secure and good about themselves in this country and having a certain amount of swagger. It's almost like they got a little jealous because black people were a little bit too comfortable and feeling a little bit too good, right? And were feeling like this was really their country a little bit too much. And because look at how far the pendulum has swung back the other way. You know, it's almost like it's a reaction, like they really didn't care how extreme this guy was and how full of it he was, just as long as he was talking that very extreme stuff, even though it hurt, you know, even though he wasn't the best, he's not the best vote for the rank and file people that support the Republican Party, because obviously the details of where their lives are more in alignment with what the Democratic Party is trying to do. But their hatred and their animosity towards African Americans and everybody else getting a piece of the American pie caused them to, you know, to me, in my assessment, swing the pendulum way the other way and get this really extreme, you know, nationalist, like he calls himself.
You know what I advise
Eric?
People? You know what I advise people to do, guys?
What's that?
I advise people listening to the show every week to get involved.
Right.
To get involved in your community organizations.
Right.
Get involved in organizations that are voting. Take a part of your life and get involved.
Right.
Make sure you become political.
Right.
Become strong, strong politically. Know the issues.
Right.
Follow, you know, the presidency, you know, the lack of the presidency, I should say,
okay.
In the White House right now. So get out and vote. Form your organizations. Join the other organizations with like-minded people.
Right.
You don't care what color they are. You don't care where they're from. Okay? You don't care what their means are.
Right.
You know? We have to get out, we have to vote, and we have to cause change, and you have to do it now.
Okay. And what were you going to finish your point? What were we going to say?
Eric, what I was going to acknowledge was your referencing of the history. If you look back at every African-American community that was destroyed by white racism, the one in Florida, the one in Tulsa, the one in Charlotte, every riot that destroyed our African-American community was based in one factoid, is that white people did not want to see African-Americans rise above the poorest of their white people. Every single one, every community that was destroyed will reference how they were jealous of the African-American success story. Now, fast forward to the 20th century, the 21st century, the Republican agenda as a conservative initiative was to destabilize and create job losses within the federal government, because at the migration of 1950s and 60s of African Americans coming out of the South and moving into the North, they got into federal jobs.
Those federal jobs, right.
That's right, post office. The federal government system, and ultimately, in order to disrupt the flow of African Americans into the middle class and upper middle class, was to take the jobs away that were given to them by way of the Work Project history that
WPA.
Franklin Roosevelt created, the
yeah,
WPA
yeah.
that. He
yeah.
created, and every job initiative that brought African Americans into the federal and state level government created the black middle class. And once those jobs were taken away, it helped to destroy where we are right now with the dysfunctional community.
Myron, thank you. Eric, thank you. Just a minute. I want to say something. Okay? I want to let people know. You know, that you can make a difference and you can make a change. And we should start it now. You know, don't be bogged down with a lot of unnecessary talk. Okay? Let's do something. Take action. Vote. Speak out. Talk out. And get yourself together.
All right.
Be prepared.
There's the last word by my mom. She gets it. Thanks, Mom.
Amen.
You got my support.
Me too.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I deleted myself. All right. Just Wayne hung up. Brother Byron, want to say thanks for calling in, brother. I believe I deleted myself. I muted myself. But tell the people thanks and give them your send-off, Byron.
Peace and love always.
All right. All right, brother. All right. I want to say thank you to everybody for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show. Always, Wednesdays, 8 to 9 p.m., archived always. Thanks. See you again next week. Bye-bye.